expect you to do something for me. That's not how God works. God's grace is sufficient, and God is so graceful that he will give you what you need. And you know what? Even if it's some things I didn't pray for that God blessed me with, all because all I did was seek him. Oh, okay, I won't get into that. That's another message. He says, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what to do. Now, Paul could have said this. He could have said, you know what? I don't need to be told nothing because I already know what the law says. I don't need somebody to tell me anything. And, you know, that's many of our attitudes. We don't want people to tell us anything. But he says, I'm going to the city, like he said, so I can be told what to do. And look at this. And the men journeyed with him stood with him. And he said they stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. You know, the one thing about God, he wants a personal relationship with you. He wants this relationship to be so personal that people will know that there's an experience going on, but they won't know exactly what God is doing in you. Lord, help me. Right now, we're sitting in this building, and somebody's having an experience with God, and we don't know what's going on inside of you, but God is doing something inside of you. God is moving inside of you. He's touching your heart, your mind. He got you thinking right now on what you should do to make your life get your life to where it needs to be. Amen? God is showing you some things, some steps, and he's showing you where he guided you from some mess and to give you a message of hope. Come on and say amen. He says, and the men stood, they heard a voice, but they didn't see nobody. They can't see God like you. You're not going to see God the same way that I see him. You need to see him the way that he wants you to see him. He reveals himself to you in a different way than he reveals himself to me. Come on and say amen. And he says in verse 8, and Saul arose from the earth when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. Good thing I love about this is that when the glory of God changes you, you don't start looking at men. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. He said when he arose from this, he couldn't see nobody. I don't want to see anybody else because I've looked into the glory of God. And by looking in, if you want to get to know God, there was one of the early church fathers that said getting to know God is like gazing into the sun.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holding Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II. One church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you afresh now for this another wonderful opportunity to be in your house and more especially to have you to reside in our hearts. And we say thank you today. God, you are God, and we elevate your name. We magnify your name. We, God, thank you for so much that you've done that we can't even begin to count all of the multitudinous blessings. But now meet us in the Word. Show us you afresh. And then, God, give us a rhema word, a relevant word, a real word that will meet us right where we are, and then deal with us where we are, and do in us that you desire for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. I was led this morning to speak from Matthew chapter 8, and I want us to look at verses 2 through 4. Matthew chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. No unfamiliar word, but I do pray God gives fresh revelation. And Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 says, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of our God. When we look at this word today, we want to focus in on the fact that Christ can touch us at our deepest point of need. Christ can touch us at our deepest point of need. Since most of us are familiar with this story in the Word of the Lord, and I think it's helpful for us to learn something about this, because this story was written not just for its historical value, but for its ability to inform us and inspire us. Maybe your issue is not leprosy, maybe it's cancer, maybe it's this, maybe it's that, whatever it is. The point is, if it is a need, and if it is a deep need that surface help and healing cannot reach, you need to know there's still help and hope in Jesus Christ. One of the things that I love about this text, and I want to just bring out five interesting points of view so that you can see in the text what this man did and what is necessary for us to do to get this kind of healing from Jesus, this kind of touch from Jesus. Many times we look for and we go to everybody but the Lord. And we wonder why we cannot get what the Lord says is ours. First thing I want you to recognize is not only does Matthew recount this story, but Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through verse 45, Mark recounts this story, and Luke in chapter 5, verses 12 through 16 also tells this story. Now, each one of them have a little twist on how they present this story. But what's interesting about it is that every one of them said Jesus touched him. Now listen to this. All of the other points that each one of them make individually, again, make the interesting point that is most important to all of us, is the fact that no matter how deep your need is, Jesus can touch it. Let's look at the first point I want us to look at. First, if we want a touch from Jesus, we must first acknowledge we have a need.
All right.
I said if we want a touch from Jesus, we must first acknowledge we have a need. Now, you know, my brothers and sisters, pride many times keeps us from acknowledging that we have a need. Embarrassment keeps us sometime from saying to others we have a need. Shortcomings keep us sometime from saying to the Lord, to others, acknowledging that we have a need. And sometimes the fact that we feel that we are less than others keep us
from many times acknowledging that we have a need. But I want you to know something, that until you come to the point and to the place where you acknowledge yourself you have a need, you will never seek the proper help to take care of that need. It's called denial. And folk will have needs, but they will always make excuses, and they will always look around to try and circumvent the fact that they must acknowledge that they have a need before real help can ever enter in and do some good. That's one of the reasons why in all of these intervention programs and all of these rehab programs, etc., people must come with the first principle of law as it relates to rehabilitation and restoration. They must first acknowledge that they have a problem.
Yeah. All right.
See, don't you know some folk that can always point the finger at everybody else?
All right.
They can always see everybody else's shortcomings, talk about everybody else's life, talk about what everybody else is and talk about what everybody else isn't doing. But when it comes to them, they can't ever see their shortcomings. They can't ever see their issues. They can't ever point the finger at themselves. And they're always blaming others for their situation. The first thing the man did, and that's helpful for us to know, is he acknowledged that he had a need. Second thing I want you to know, because when he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a lowly leper, not lifted up in pride, not coming in self-esteem, but he falls to the feet of Jesus and beseeches him and says, Lord, from the word kurios. And he says this because Jesus has the power, the control, the mastery of all of this man's needs. He knows that Jesus can fix his situation. You see, I need to tell you, if you're going to go to him as Lord, that there ought to be some things on the inside of you first that positions you to know that your faith believes in the one who can do anything but fail. And he says, Lord, you canst make me clean. And one of the things that I want to tell you is, when you look at this word, he acknowledges the fact that he needs the Lord. Now, God has issues with folk who need him and won't say it. Matter of fact, folk who get so caught up in how good life has been and how things have been that they don't really need to acknowledge that they need him. Revelation 3:17, you know, all the people Jesus could have helped, he despised the folk who did not ask him for help and needed help because they thought they were self-sufficient. You remember in Revelation 3:17, the Bible says, you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Here's what they said. We have need of nothing. Take some time out and read that. Because that comes a time in our lives when we act like we don't have need of nothing or no one. And the Lord says the problem is you have an erroneous self-evaluation. You are, listen to what he says, wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Now, they said they were rich and they had need of nothing, but what they missed was that while they may have been doing pretty good in the natural realm, they were missing it in the spiritual realm.
All right.
Because we can't acknowledge that we need God or that there are some issues in our lives that only God himself can deal with, we will miss the touch of the Lord on our lives if we can't admit ourselves we're not yet all God wants us to be. But listen at this, just acknowledging is not going to do it in itself. The next thing we need to look at, point two, is he came to Jesus. See, some folk will acknowledge they've got a problem, but they won't go and get the help in the place where they can truly get the help from. And in this case, listen at this, it was twofold. It was not just physical, but it was spiritual. It was not just in the flesh, but it had to do with those things that he had need of in the spiritual context. And so the record is, he came to Jesus and he besought him. He begged him, if you will. He pleaded with him. And this is the reason why he did this, because he recognized his case was so miserable that if the Lord didn't fix it, it couldn't be fixed. You see, that comes a point in time where you can fall so low that you reach the point where you recognize, I can't go no lower. After this, it's checkout time. And his case had become so miserable that he had no problem coming to Jesus. Now, listen to this. When he reaches the point where his need outweighs that his other concerns were that held him back from coming to Jesus earlier. And I guess maybe I ought to put it this way. Sometimes you've got to get to the point where you realize if you don't take this next step, there won't be another step. That you've got to make your step count. Did you get what I just said? In other words, sometimes you drag the situation of help and searching for help out so long till you don't have many steps left. And so at that point, you've got to make that last step count. And so he thought about it. And he said, the only place I can go is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I go to Jesus, I know he'll work this situation out. You see, my brothers and sisters, one of the things that you've got to realize is that you don't have to wait like this leper did and come to the end of your journey before you invite Jesus in. Sometimes we'll learn we don't have to go through as much as we go through if we learn how to get up and move when we determine there is a need in our lives. But listen at this. He came to Jesus. He besought him. And listen at this. John chapter 5, verse 40 makes clear. In that 39th verse, Jesus said, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have life. But look at what verse 40 says. He said, you refuse to come to me to have life. John 5 and 40. He said, you refuse to come to me to have life. In other words, what you don't understand is that the Bible points to me. All right. And you reading the scriptures and you trying to hold on to the word, but if you are looking for the word without the one who has given the essence to the word, then you're going to find out that you can't have life outside of me. The word points to me. So if you're going to follow the word, then you ought to end up at me. And so we must come to Jesus. But look at point three is we must come to Jesus in humility. And don't you hate when folk come to you and they want something from you, need something from you, and they've got a bigoted attitude? They come up to you like you gotta do something from them, for them. Like you gotta help them out, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. They're so prideful, they don't wanna humble themselves, and they're like, look, I don't really wanna ask you, but then don't ask. You don't act that bigoted. You don't need me. Don't ask for nothing then. Don't come in my face. Don't even approach me if you're going to come like that. Listen to this, because I want you to see how the man came to the Lord Jesus. Because pride, listen, comes before a fall. A lifted up spirit where you think you all that, God will show you before he change you. How unless you humble yourself. Look at the Bible again. Let's go back to verse 2. It says, and behold, there came a leper. And look at what he did. And worshiped him. He worshiped the Lord Jesus, which meant he humbled himself. He bowed himself, lowered his body, but he humbled his spirit. And after he put the Lord first. And that's all the Lord wants you to do. Because listen, it's easy to be humble when you put God first. See, pride has got to take a back seat if it gets in the car at all. If you put the Lord first, he'll remove all of that self-stained image from beneath. In other words, he will make clear that you see clear.
That's right.
And you'll begin to see that you aren't all that you cracked up to be.
All right.
And because you want to be, you take that false image and you set it to the side and you see you as God sees you. And you see you as wretched, and you see you as undone, and you see you as needy, and you see you needing a fix, and you see you needing a clean heart, and you see you being the way God sees you, and you want him to make it right with you.
All right.
And so you begin worshiping him, the one who can change you, the one who can conquer everything that binds you, the one who can truly control you. And he worships him. And then he says, Lord, the one who can. See, the problem with a whole lot of us is we tell our problems to people who can't help us. We tell our problems to people who take our problems to other people. We tell our problems to people who make our problems worse.
Okay.
But this man worshiped the one who could change his situation, who could turn his life around, who could meet him at his deepest point of need. Listen at this. And he said, Lord, if you will, you can. I love this faith talk. He says, if it's an act of your will, not how I feel, I know you can do it.
All right.
Now you see, one of the things that I love about this, because I want you to see Jesus' reaction to faith talk. Because this man is giving us a helpful holy hint as to how we ought to approach and what we ought to say to Jesus when we need him to meet us at our deepest point of need. First of all, be real.
All right.
Tell your neighbor when you're talking to the Lord, be real. Be real. Be real. You might not tell me the whole story, and you might not be real with me, but if you're going to talk to the one who can help you, tell him all of the story. You know, if you tell him part, you only get part. But if you be real and tell him everything that there is connected with your need, he'll meet your whole need. So listen at this again. He goes to the Lord and he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Now that might seem so simple that it just went right over your head, is it? Jesus didn't even have to have any word with him concerning this man's faith. He knew the desperation of this man's situation. He understood the sacrifice of this man's situation. This man was no fool. This man knew the law. This man knew that he was not to be within 300 feet of Jesus. He was to cry out before he ever came close to him, leprosy, 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 acknowledging that a leper was coming. It was a very contagious disease. It was something that was of such a great and grave nature that it was in its worst states, hard to look upon. And people didn't even want to look upon him, let alone get close enough to touch him. And this man, listen at this, he cried out first after he worshiped the Lord, and then he told the Lord what he believed by faith, that if he willed, he could cleanse him. Now, I want you to see something else. This man's faith, again, touched the Lord Jesus so deeply that Jesus didn't have to have a verbal discourse with the man, but he immediately went into action and took care of the man's need. See, sometimes when your need is so deep and you're so real with the Lord, he shows up instantly and do what you need him to do. He talks to him after he heals him. He talks to him after he fixes his situation. See, if you just be real with the Lord, Jeremiah said, while you're yet calling him. Yeah, I wish I had a help in the house. Your need can be so urgent that the Lord will meet that need before he ever finishes his discussion with you. When you're real with the Lord. And so listen at this. What I love about it is this. That Jesus, and I've shared this with you before, touches him. He didn't touch Jesus. Go back to the text. I want you to see. The Bible says in verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, listen at this, I will. Ah, y'all don't hear me here. You want to know if I will? I will. Now let me throw this other parenthetical help out for you. If you want to know if the Lord wants to help you, if it's his will, he just got through telling you, I will. Y'all still didn't get it. If your situation don't change, don't blame it on Jesus. If your circumstance doesn't change, don't blame it on Jesus. If you know if Jesus want to hear you, if you know if Jesus want to help you, if you know if Jesus want to deliver you, if you want to know if Jesus want to cleanse you, if you want to know his will, he said, I will. So it's clear that the issue does not lay on Jesus, but it lies within every one of our decisions to trust him, to come to him, to believe in him. And he says, let me make my position clear. I will. Man, that's shout news for somebody who needs the Lord in their lives. Look again. Look again. He's humble and he's coming to Jesus. And James reminds us in the 4th chapter and the 6th verse that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. He rejects the proud. You act like you all of that, then don't come to me. Jesus said, it's not the well who need the physician. It's not the righteous who need repentance. He says, but it's the folk who know if the Lord don't help me. It's the folk who know I've messed up, and if Jesus don't straighten me up, I'm headed straight to hell. It's the people who know that I need the Lord and I need him now. And so he makes it clear that we must understand that he will not help those who act like they don't need his help. Well, on something else, point 4 I want you to know is we must come to Jesus believing he can and will help us. We must come to Jesus believing he can and will help us. How many times have you tried to help yourself in a certain situation or circumstance and you couldn't? That ought to be every hand in the house going up today. Because all of us have been in a situation where we know we've needed help. We've done the best we could. And after doing the best we could, discovered we could not. But if we humbled ourselves enough to come before the Lord, who could and will help, then we will discover that we will find that help, listen, right at the feet of Jesus. At that point, there was no other place, there was no other person, and there was no other period he could come and get the help he needed. And one of the wonderful things about this story is, look at the compassion of Jesus. After the man acknowledged, after the man came, after the man worshiped, after the man humbled himself, look at the compassion of Jesus. Jesus reached out to him. The man did not have a lawful right to touch Jesus, but Jesus had the love and the power as Lord to touch him. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. This man could not touch Jesus. But as Lord, Jesus could touch him. You see, the man by law was forbidden to touch Jesus. But the Lord by love was permitted to touch him. Listen, listen. The leprosy could not defeat Jesus.
All right.
But